Call to order the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors meeting. Today is December 18, 2012. The time is 6:30 p.m. Everybody please rise for the flag salute. And I'll ask if people continue standing after the flag salute as we hold a moment of silence for those children and adults who were tragically lost their lives last Friday at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
So we start tonight, we're going to start with three presentations, all having to do with volunteer recognition and appreciation. So we'll start with item A, Laird Park Renovation Project.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, board members, CEO Nino, and Council, County Council Doring. Jamie Eggers, the Interim Director of Department of Parks and Recreation. It's a pleasure to be part of this volunteer recognition and appreciation effort this evening. The first project that we'll be speaking of is the Laird Park Renovation Project. In the past, Laird Park was a place that attracted families, children playing ball, and community events. It's a beautiful setting that also has river access. In fiscal year 2009-2010, maintenance of the park was transferred to the Department of Parks and Recreation, but unfortunately that was also at a time when funding and staffing became greatly reduced. Because of that, staffing efforts were primarily directed at fire prevention and litter pickup. In July 2011, this board was approached by a group of private citizens about restoring and maintaining Laird Park. They submitted a plan to renovate 30 acres, including pruning and removal of the tree material, installing a new irrigation well, designing and installing a new irrigation system, supplying and maintaining portable restrooms, and assisting with the maintenance and management of the park. This board accepted that generous donation. And at this time, I would like to read the names. And I would like to ask those individuals to stand if they're present. First, we have Mike Conrad, Blake Hennings, Gary Rossiter, RJ Days, John Maring, Jerry Sanders, Lee Del Don, Randy McLaughlin, and Supervisor Jim DeMartini. At this point, the work in the park is essentially completed recently, and the park, which was once fallow, now looks like this. We have several lovely photos for you. This is the new well. And it's truly beautiful if you have the opportunity to go by there. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors sincerely appreciates the community volunteers who have made contributions to the parks throughout the county. And thank you for all that you do.
Yeah, since that's in my district, I had a part of watching that come together. I really want to thank all the people that have done this. This is a great project that it just shows what the public can do. This park had been abandoned by the county, and this was a regional park, and it was the only regional park that we had in the county that was just abandoned. So I think that John Maring had the project up. A lot of volunteers and a lot of people did their part for whatever their expertise was. And rebuilt that whole park from just an eyesore to it's a park that could be used now by the public. And it's the only regional park in the area. So thank you very much for everything you did. It was a great project, and in fact, it's the only one I know of its kind where a private group had got together and renovated some county property. So can't thank you enough, and I know the residents in that whole area appreciate it.
All right. Very good.
I'm just going to jump in here real quick. I wish we could have had pictures of before, show what this looked like before. But, yeah, I want to thank John for getting this all together. We were probably sitting one night at dinner at Oman Opa's house on a Sunday night. It was probably when John was giving it to me about the way this park looked. And then he wanted to know what I was going to do, and I said, well, what are you going to do? and John stepped up and he did something, and with the help of all his friends and Supervisor DeMartini, it's just it's amazing what you guys did. So thanks for everything you did, guys.
Thank you. Huge thank you very much. And with that, we will hear about another park, item B, Valley Home Community Center Park Development Project.
Correct. The town of Valley Home was established in 1903 as a post office for the old Stockton-Visalia Railroad line. The town was not well recognized until a clubhouse was built. In 1913, however, the clubhouse needed to be rebuilt, and that was done through the generous donations of money and labor by the local residents. The facility hosted many events over the years, but eventually fell into disrepair. A committee was formed not long ago to look into the possibility of rehabbing the building, but that proved to be cost prohibitive. Instead, the concept of a memorial park was born, and the community began working toward that end. And with that, I would like to read those names as well and ask them to stand if they are present. First, we have Randy Benedict, Ralph DeMonte, Sharon Hoffman, Josh Mann, Sean Sinclair, Kevin Hart, Roger Beimer, and I apologize if I mispronounce anyone's name. See, the next one's a little more challenging. Rolanda Bisra Lewis, Steve Nell, Winnie Mullins, Mike Tozzi, the Valley Home 4-H Group, Glenn Burkhart, Sharon Furtado, Don Knickerbocker, Joe Perez, and Tom Winchester.
Brandon.
Throughout the grassroots efforts of the community, the grand opening and dedication took place in 2011 and now serves the town of Valley Home and the local schools. And it looks like this. And again, the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors sincerely appreciates the community volunteers who have made contributions to the parks throughout the county.
Well,
thank you for all that you do.
This one's in my district, and I will tell you that this group of people did a tremendous job. What the building was that started was just a old building that had to come down. And I will tell you, I'm very impressed with the community involvement in this. I think Mr. Perez kind of was the ringleader of this, and his wife. And thank you very much. But everybody chipped in, from people who hauled in the rocks. Just incredible job. And Valley Home's a little community, and I think they did an absolutely wonderful job. So thank you all for all your hard work. Appreciate it.
And we have one more presentation, but at the end we have certificates of appreciation for each of those recognized tonight, and you can receive those in the foyer.
And the last presentation is Stanislaus County Agriculture Center Tree Restoration Program.
Good evening.
I'm Roger Duncan, the director of the Cooperative Extension Office. We are at the Stanislaus County Agricultural Center. And the Ag Center was built about 13 years ago. And for many reasons, the landscaping has not fared well over the years, and including almost all of the trees along Cornucopia, which is the street that connects Service Road and Crow's Landing Road, as well as many of the trees within the parking areas and things. So I approached the department heads of the other departments at the Ag Center and asked if they would be willing to support a reforestation of the Ag Center if I could find some help to plant the trees, and they readily agreed. And I contacted sent a message out to our 4-H groups who were part of our office, and very quickly we had very positive responses of folks who wanted to serve the community. And many of these folks are here tonight, so I'd like these folks to stand if they're present, if they're able to make it tonight. And we have about 21 folks, so I guess I can read the names. Abby and Roger Van Claveren, Lily Grashmidt, Jeffrey Ostland, Laura Silva Cates, Madison Cates and John Cates, Logan Doige and Tracy Doige, Sam Langpap, Keith Tinney, Jennifer Tinney and Philip Tinney, Alan Clark, Steve Orick, Pete Rathens and Emma Rathens, Molly Wallace, Jake Bankson, Matt Heckendorf, Ann Shellman, Joanne Ratto, and Sue Kurland. On Saturday, October 13th, we had 21 4-H members from 5 different clubs in our county, including Wood Colony, Kern and Clovers, Vernalis, Houston, and the high school 4-H group, plus 4 Cooperative Extension staff volunteered that morning. And in addition, Sierra 4-H donated $160, and Shooting Stars Club donated $80 towards the cost of the trees. So that morning we planted 129 trees, and I assure you we did not, no children were harmed in the planting of these. We planted 129 trees that morning, including 69 cork oak trees, 28 Oklahoma redbud trees, 29 October glory red maples, and 3 Chinese pistache. And these trees were provided wholesale by Grover Landscaping, and the costs were absorbed by the 4 departments there. So I'm certainly pleased to publicly acknowledge the volunteers here for their community service, and I'm proud that 4-H is a part of our organization. And I invite everyone to come by this spring when the red buds are in bloom. Thank you.
Well, again, I mean, huge thank you, and it's so great to see the 4-H clubs involved. Our young people just outstanding. And in a time where government is going through a tough time with funding, and I think it's great to see people step up, even though some were challenged to step up, I think jokingly, but it's great to see people come forward and take care of their community that they live in. So a huge thank you to each and every one of you. We do have certificates right up front that will be awarded, and again, I think another round of applause for all of our volunteers. And we're going to take just a couple minute recess here while people head out, so you don't have to listen to the rest of our meeting tonight.
Your money now or after first of the year? I just texted him. He just called me today, so I said, tax rates aren't going down.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
That was a really terrific year.
Yeah.
And I'm not really very strong. No, I haven't done anything. I haven't laughed at Brandon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so at this time, we'll move on to public comment period. It's time on the agenda when anybody can address this Board of Supervisors on any item that is not on tonight's agenda within our purview. I do not have any specific request to speak. Does anybody wish to address this Board of Supervisors? Good evening.
Looking over your shoulder.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to be here. Just to bring you up to speed a little bit, I know you had a couple ladies here a few weeks back that told you they're, I don't want to call it a tale of woe, but quite honestly, they were trying to expose a couple of animal abusers, people that actually kidnapped cats or trapped them, baited them into their backyards, trapped them, and then took them out and dumped them. Well, I don't begrudge the trapping, I begrudge the dumping, and it was extremely sad. I know your hands are tied. There is a great state ordinance, but only in Ms. Flatiger's department can prosecute it. So while this is a great night for volunteers, those ladies appeared in front of Modesto City Council. And thanks to a little bit of motivation, both by individuals and by the Modesto City Council, they turned it over to Chief Harris, Captain Harris, excuse me, of the Modesto Police Department. And on Thursday at 9 a.m., if you're interested, there's going to be a meeting at the Animal Services Department out by the airport, and that's to discuss an ordinance that each individual town can pass so their city attorneys can prosecute, since Ms. Flatiger says her department's incapable of doing it. She's explaining to the ladies that she's just overwhelmed, and she has bigger fish to fry. I mean, animals being abused doesn't fall on everybody's high category compared to some of the things she sees. I'll be the first one to admit that. So it's nice to see, and Modesto's been championing this issue. You know, it's kind of flying below the radar, but it is coming up. Everybody's going to be appearing there. I was one of the ones that found some of the ordinances statewide, sent them to him to give him some ideas, because the point's to find something that's already pass muster, plug it in there so everybody can take care of it, because we don't want to see these two men, Mr. Reed and Mr. Sumner, abuse any more animals. Point blank, it should stop now. Now, when I was downtown today, wandering around, actually finding out about this meeting or double-checking on it, I came across some interesting information that I'd like to share with you. You know, we've, between the county and the city, you created an ad hoc committee to discuss the Salida annexation. And you know, ad hoc committees are they're a strange breed. They don't fall under the Brown Act. You don't have to list them anywhere. Legally, you're not required. Nobody's holding a lawsuit at your head, if you will, to do it. The Modesto City Council had another one like this. It was the Blue Ribbon Commission on the Homeless that they were first letting slide under the radar. But when we appeared in front of them and requested it, it's actually listed now on their website, even though it's not a requirement. So the reason that surprised me is because I've been watching both the city and the county websites extremely closely. And today, while wandering around, well, the mayor's office, if you will, I found out that this committee's already met. I won't call it in secrecy. Met at a restaurant or something. I didn't get the details. It didn't matter. But that's a concern to me, because you ladies and gentlemen, have all been forthcoming. I mean, you answered those questions more than you ever had to. Nobody suggested anything untoward has happened. The results of that commission, the Goodwin Commission, aren't back yet. So virtually nothing could happen. But the fact that both the city, they're not meeting or I would be in front of them, and the county, who's MID today, it was great, by the way. We have fresh blood there. They're taking care of business. The city and the county both have ignored the issue. And I'm here to plead to you, to request, that you make a point of putting on the calendar somewhere on your website so people can find it. And I'm going to hold you've got one councilman in the back. I'm going to ask him to do the same thing. To make those meetings, they're going to be public, I'm sure, but it disturbs me that one has slid under the radar already. I guess, you know, they didn't, some of the individuals, because after I got home, I made some phone calls, and they didn't know if they were supposed to talk about it or not. They was one meeting. Well, the ones you had. Oh, that meeting. So, I'm just being honest. You know, so please, make the effort. Wrap it up. I know. Make the effort. MID has this clock. I mean,
okay, I got it. We've thought about it.
I bet you have. But please, make this public. for, require it almost to follow the Brown Act rules. It's only fair. Okay?
Mr. Drake, one question. On the animal ordinance that you're talking about, is that going to be at the old animal shelter? You said near the airport?
I believe so. It's Finch Road. I'm not sure. I don't have that note in front of me.
See our new animal services on Crow's Landing?
Because I heard you say airport.
Yes, that's what's...
Because that's the old animal shelter, which is not currently occupied.
The new animal shelter.
On Crow's Landing? No, we wanted to make sure it was clarified.
We didn't want to send people to the wrong spot.
Correct.
We wouldn't want to do that, you're right.
Okay.
And it's important because this is going to be an opportunity countywide to have an ordinance that each individual's... Listen, in Modesto, they're ready to take care of these individuals because that's where they live. We're going to solve this issue and we move forward. It's not a big one, but that idea of people are abandoning cats to starve, that's a problem with me. Thank you very much for your time. I'll try to get a little timer soon. Take care now.
Thank you.
And choose from my idea. I'm telling you, there's a big difference. A new day is dawning.
Anybody else wish to address this board under public comment tonight?
Yeah. If I could just go real quick. Just Emerson, we did that meeting. It wasn't intended to be secret, and we can do whatever we can do to, but it was just Thomas Reeves from the Salida Mac called the meeting. We met out at Perko's. It was at Perko's out there in Salida. It was myself and the mayor, Karen Marsh, and then a couple other people were on the, another Mac member, Catherine Borges and Dale Scowles were at the meeting, and we really had nothing with us to talk about at this point. It was just an initial meeting to get the group together, and this is what we're going to, that group will get together with some staff, I think, from both the city and the county when the report comes out. So that's all there was to that meeting, and I'm sure it's something we can post that we're going to have that meeting. I'm sure we could, so. Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to consent calendar. Consent calendar consists of items marked with an asterisk on our agenda. Does any Board of Supervisors wish to pull any item off the consent calendar for a separate vote or for any comments?
So moved.
So, before we do that, I'll ask the public if they have any comments on consent calendar. I do have one request to speak. Dr. Broderick wishes to speak on item B6. Good evening, Dr. Broderick.
Chairman O'Brien, how are you? I'm Dr. Peter Broderick, the CEO of Valley Consortium, and I just want to take this opportunity to thank the members of the board for their continued support for Valley Consortium for Medical Education. That's the nonprofit corporation that was founded in 2009 with support from the county and several of the healthcare providers in this community. And the item I'm speaking to really is the consent item for the orthopedic residency. And I'm happy to answer questions about that, but I just want to point out that the advent of a new residency in this community is a significant event. But something like this doesn't happen without a huge amount of effort from many people, including members of my board, two of whom I want to acknowledge as employees of the County of Stanislaus, Ms. Patty Hill Thomas, who I know is hiding in the back there, never claiming credit for all the work she does, and Ms. Mary Ann Lee, who I don't think is here, but I want to acknowledge that. Oh, very good. Very good. She's hiding as well. You know, and it is my hope that the significant investment that the county made will continue to have a return for in a healthful way for the community as we create more physicians that will address the healthcare needs and some of the future workforce needs for this community. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to acknowledge once again what a tremendous event this is, and also just what a tremendous contribution that the county's made to make this possible. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Broderick, I think we owe you a huge thank you for all your hard work, and you named a couple other names, but our CEO's office and our health services agency have done tremendous work on this.
So it's a work of many hands, and I'm very proud of it.
And Peter, I'm just going to say the same thing. I know you've been around a long time and doing a lot of stuff here, but you really need a lot of praise, too, for all you do, and it's good to see you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Any other public comment on consent calendar items? Seeing none, we'll return it back to the board, and I believe there's a motion by Supervisor Monteith on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Moving on to item B11, approval to contract with Mountain Valley Emergency Medical Services Agency to administer local emergency medical services for fiscal year 13-14.
Good evening, Chairman O'Brien, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Mary Ann Lee with the Health Services Agency, and I'm here tonight to talk about the relationship that we have with Mountain Valley Emergency Medical Services Agency. This is about the annual agreement that we enter for services, and I'm sure you recall a few times over the recent years when I've been presenting about the EMS agency, it's been more about challenges, and tonight it's going to be more about progress. So that's a good thing. Every county has an obligation to have an EMS agency to fulfill the requirements around a pre-hospital medical services plan and enforcement. And that in our county, we've been fulfilling that obligation by being a member of a JPA, and it's a five-county JPA. We've been a part of that since it formed in 1981, and Supervisor DeMartini is the board's representative on that JPA board and currently is serving as the chairman of the JPA board. You'll probably also recall that we did a fairly recent review of the whole model, and in light of the challenges that we were having, we reviewed the alternatives and looked at the benefits and the weaknesses and areas that could be improved. We've already reported on all of that, so I'm not going to go into all that detail, but I because it's pertinent to why I'm here and what I'm asking for this evening, I thought I should make mention of it, and there were several outcomes of that work, but one outcome was a leadership change at MVEMS, and because of that and other changes, your board did approve the continuation of our participation in the JPA. As somewhat of an update, I characterize the relationship is really an improved and evolving, not perfect, but definitely an improved relationship. There's definitely better communication and a real spirit of collaboration. There's better coordination with the Medical Health Operational Area Coordinator, the Mohawk. That's Dr. Walker serves in that role. There's a lot more frequent conversation and planning that goes into the relationship now as opposed to the involvement that I had in the past. There's more objectivity and benchmarking being used, sort of that spirit of quality improvement. I would say they're raising the bar in terms of how the agency's work is done and how it's managed. Another one of the areas that we talked about before had to do with local needs and a priority to what we thought was important in for Stanislaus County, and our local needs are being addressed. One example, and you're aware of this, all the work that's been going into the new five-year ambulance agreements and the work on trying to move to a more integrated 911 system. While that's not the focus of tonight's item, I just wanted to mention that there is progress being made on that. We expect to be back before your board within a couple of months to report on that. And then an area that I would say that is a work in progress is on the budgeting work. I've talked with Supervisor DeMartini about this a little bit, and with Richard Murdoch. I should have mentioned Richard Murdoch is in the audience tonight. He is the executive director of MVEMS. And we're going to work a little more on planning and support documentation with regard to proposals around the budget to the JPA board. There's also a growing fund balance in MVEMS, and that's happened over time, and it appears that there really hasn't been any policy around that. So we're going to work together a little bit on that too. So so that's an area that is a work in progress. The funding of MVEMS comes from multiple sources. MADI funding, ambulance fees, trauma fees paid by the hospitals, EMT certification fees, grants, and fines. In terms of Stanislaus County's contribution to the JPA for the operations, it comes to a little less than $230,000. About $80,000 of that comes from the MADI fund, and the MADI funding comes from the state and comes into the Health Services Agency, and it is restricted for use toward emergency medical services. So a portion of the county's contribution to fund MVMS on an annual basis comes from that MADI fund, and the remaining comes from ambulance fees that are paid on the county's behalf to support the MVMS operating budget. The agreement that we enter annually with MVMS is based on that fiscal year's budget as approved by the JPA board. So why am I here now? The agreement, like most of our agreements, are done on a fiscal year basis. The existing agreement that we have calls for a six-month notice if the county isn't intending to renew the agreement, and particularly in light of what we've gone through in the last several years. I've been trying to come before your board in December about the next fiscal year. So at this point, I'm here to give you this update as I'm seeking to renew your commitment toward renewing that agreement. So just moving to the recommendations, I'm asking for authority to enter the fiscal year 2013-14 agreement with MVEMS to fulfill the county's EMS agency services, and to authorize me to negotiate and execute that agreement.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions or comments, staff?
I just have some comments because I've been on that board for 8 years. I will say there has been a lot of progress made, and this is a regional group that they remind everybody that Stanislaus County pays the lion's share of this, almost three times as much as the other counties combined. But there needs to be more progress on this budget after what happened in the last meeting, and there is no policy on this fund balance, which has been growing, and I don't want that fund balance to become a slush fund for anything that agency thinks it would be nice to have. This last meeting, you know, against my objection, we purchased a vehicle which we could demonstrate no need for. It had never come up before the regional group before, and I just didn't like the way it was handled. It's an out of budget expenditure that shouldn't have happened without some further discussion about it. No, I don't like that, but I would say that things are better than they used to be, and we're in this mostly as a benefit to the Mountain counties because we're very well able to handle this on our own. But other smaller counties like Alpine, Mariposa, Calaveras, and Amador would have a hard time without us. So I think we need to work on this a little bit more. And the board's got to have a little more control over the budget. And we're going to have to develop a policy for this fund balance. Things are better, but they could improve still more.
You recommend us continue on with this? Not really.
Yeah, at this point, I think we can work out these issues. Considering the problems we've had in the past, it's quite a bit better than it used to be. But, you know, when something comes from out of nowhere on the budget, say, well, the fund balance will just pick this thing up. You know, I don't like that. And because it didn't need to happen. And the counties that pay next to nothing, you know, have the same vote as what we do here in Stanislaus County. So, I at the very least want to see the change where the chairman goes over the budget in the future with the director so something like this doesn't happen again.
Any other comments or questions? ask if there's any public comment on this item. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for action.
I'll move that we approve staff recommendations.
Second. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you. Item C3, approval of the revised fiscal year 12-13 Transit Transportation Development Act claim. Mr. Machado.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. And with me this evening is Eunice Lovey. She's our transit manager for the county for our START program. A little bit of history about this item before we get into the details of it. Back in July, your board authorized us to negotiate a merger between START and ROTA. Then in November, your board approved that merger. It was through an MOU agreement. And so with that merger, we'll be taking over the ROTA service starting January 1. And so that's an exciting consolidation in our county for transit. This board item before you is actually the final step to shift over the remaining budget of ROTA to the START budget. And so with that, our recommendations this evening are to approve the revised fiscal year 2012-2013 Transit Transportation Development Act claim in the amount of $5,887,799, and also to authorize us to execute and submit the claim to STANCOG. And so just, I know it's a brief item, but it is exciting, and it's probably worth mentioning that we've consolidated some transit in our region, and I think we'll see some efficiencies and improvements in service in the Riverbank and Oakdale area. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions or take any comments you have.
And ROTA's in my district, and you're absolutely right. I think we will see some efficiencies, and so I'm thankful the county was willing to take it on. And that's what local government has to do, is we've got to do the best job we can for our citizens' tax dollars that they give us. So thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
I'm just going to congratulate you guys on this, too. I think this is a good thing, and hopefully this is the first of maybe others. Maybe there's other authorities out there that we can look to consolidate and eliminate maybe some duplications that are out there. I think this is just a great thing and a great start, so don't stop here.
Thank you.
Okay.
And any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
Motion to approve.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you
very much. Brings us to correspondence.
This board has received a copy of the annual audit of the Child Care and Development Stage 2 and Stage 3 contracts.
Acknowledge receipt of the audit report.
This board has received a notice from the U.S. Department of Transportation, Federal Aviation Administration, regarding their intent to prepare an environmental assessment to consider the potential impacts of the implementation of the optimization of air, space, and procedures in the Metroplex in the Northern California area.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Services.
This board has received a letter from the State of California Department of Fish and Game regarding a draft environmental document regarding falconry regulations.
Refer to Fish and Wildlife Committee.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Yeah, I'm just going to, I think this is probably the last full board meeting that you will run this year. And I know there will be something at our next meeting here in January, probably that we hand over the gavel. But I just want to thank you. You've done a good job, Bill. There's been a couple fun meetings I know that you've had to. And Elaine, you've done a really good job.
Well, I'll tell you, there's no one happier tonight that this is our last meeting here. And I want to thank my board for putting up with me this year. I'm looking forward to a great year next year. We'll have a great chairman. And so I'm looking forward to that. I want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And thank staff for a great job this past year. I also want to pass congratulations on to a couple of football teams from our county, Central Catholic Raiders. Yeah. And And the Oakdale Mustangs. Both teams made it to the State Bowl, so it's just incredible, absolutely incredible.
And I'd like to comment on something, and I think we should do something for both those teams, maybe a proclamation. I know that they had done something for Modesto Christian a few years back, so something to think about here after the first of the year. Today I went to Sacramento regarding, we're starting to look at funding for the rail, the three rail corridors, of which San Joaquin Rail, Amtrak is the Central Valley, it's also the Capital Corridor, and the Pacific Surfliner, which is LA to San Diego. And every time I go before these meetings, I get these statistics, and I always feel like, I mean, I keep being wowed by these statistics. And we know that the San Joaquin is the fastest growing corridor in the United States. It has been 36 months of straight growth, year over year, 36 months straight. The only one, nothing's even close. We went over 1 million riders 2 years ago. There's 1.1 million riders this year. But what was interesting is, you know, people don't like the subsidies that are put on our public transportation, our busing system. So, you know, 80% subsidy, 85 out in the unincorporated area. The trains are running about 50% subsidy, but the subsidy from the state of California is about $90 million a year for the whole Amtrak system. That seems like a lot of money, but in the cost of an overpass, I think it's a couple of Kernan Road overpasses right there for the system. We account for about a third of the whole ridership in the United States right here in California. So think about that. So I will continue when we talk about vehicle miles traveled, getting people off the road, carbon emissions, the growing segment is that public transportation will be a way of the future, whether it's high-speed rail, whether it's buses, whether it's planes, whatever that mode is, we need to stay engaged. And I know the JPA with Stan Cog now is engaged. But it was an interesting day. So.
Very good. All right. With that, we'll move to Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
I do not have one this evening, Chair. But I do have an announcement, and a very exciting announcement. We will be having a swearing-in ceremony for Chairman O'Brien, Supervisor Chiesa, Supervisor DeMartini, and it will be located, and I invite the public to this swearing-in ceremony. It will be at 8:30 a.m. on January 8, 2013, in this chambers, 1010 10th Street, Modesto, California. It will occur 30 minutes before our 9 o'clock board meeting of January 8th, and I invite all of the public to join us for that wonderful ceremony.
And with that, this meeting is adjourned.